Welcome, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. And Paradigm Shifters are people who are making a difference in the collective of our species in this time of the Great Shift. And our person who's making a difference tonight is a wonderful dowser who's going to be showing up at the West Coast Dowsers Conference that's coming up in Santa Cruz. It's a woman I've been looking for the last few years because of her feisty approach to talking to guides and angels in her book called Hiring the Heavens. So welcome to the show, Jean Slatter.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Now, I know you're a naturopath. And I know you're a dowser, and I know you've got this incredibly magical approach to manifesting, really, and connecting with your guides and angels in a kind of an order that works. So, and you're doing wantology. So let's see, where will we start? How did all of this start for you?
You know, okay, I'll go way back. A very first thing that happened was dowsing, and that was 22 years ago. I walked into a chiropractor's office, and he told me after he did my adjustment that he could tell me if I was deficient in some minerals. And I said, really? How could you do that? And he went into his closet, and he pulled out a wire hanger and untwisted it, straightened it out, and began to bob it up and down on his hip.
Just a good old hanger?
Pardon me?
Just a good old hanger?
Oh, a plain old wire hanger. I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. At the time, this was way weird. And just so happened, though, that I walked over to a health food store next door. And unbeknownst to me, I started up a conversation with one of the ladies that works there, who happened to be one of the founders of the Dowsing Society.
Oh,
and I started telling her about this strange man next door that was bobbing this wire up and down on his hip to tell me if I was deficient in minerals. And that's when she began to explain to me about the term dowsing. I had never heard of it before. Hmm. Of course, you know, this was just way, the first time you're exposed to this, it looks like just this side of woo-woo, right?
Or in the middle of woo-woo, come on.
Right smack in the middle of it.
So how long ago was that?
That was over 22 years ago, and it intrigued me enough that I started to attend some local chapter meetings in Sacramento. And then I went to my first dowsing conference in Santa Cruz, the same one that's coming up here in July. And the first time I went, I was hooked. Absolutely
wow.
Hooked. It became the most fascinating thing I've ever explored. And I have become so passionate about dowsing since that I just truly believe everybody on the planet should know how to douse, because I'll tell you what it is. It is the fastest way to connect with your intuition. Most of us, well, we all have intuition, but so many of us are uncertain about the voice that we're hearing. We're saying, okay, now was that my intuition talking, or was that just, you know, wishful thinking or whatever? Did I just make that up? Well, when you have an outside meter to read, like a pendulum, or the rods, or even a wire hanger bobbing up and down on your head, at least you've got an outside meter to read what it is that your intuition is telling you. And it's the most self-empowering tool that I know of, and will connect you with your intuition faster than any other method that I've ever heard of.
Is it the same as kinesiology?
Yeah, kinesiology is just body dowsing.
Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to me that you, or what did you use at first? Did you use a pendulum or wires for witching? What did you use?
I got started with the pendulum, but I've used all the different types of tools available, and the pendulum is just so easy to carry around. Heck, I've got a couple of them in my purse. Actually, they're in every single room in my whole house. My kids have grown up with me dowsing over the past 22 years. So early on when my kids were little, I became the lost toy department. So anytime a toy was lost, the kids would ask, Mom, can you douse for my lost toy?
Did they all learn how to do it?
Yeah, so I said, after a while, I just said, okay, here's how you do it. Now you can go find your own toys.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, the pendulum is just such a convenient, easy way to douse. And you can take your pendulum with you to the store to help you find the best vegetables, or to on a menu to discover which item you would be most satisfied with, or to even pick out the perfect hair color for yourself, or the perfect haircut.
Do you actually take it out? And for people at home who don't know how to douse, maybe we should explain that, because I was thinking, do you actually take it out and use it in public?
I do. And I encourage people to do that, because in the beginning, of course, I was a little bit scared about using it in public, because I had some leftover beliefs about that somehow I was, you know, moving into something occult-like. But once I understood how dowsing works, all of that went away. And it simply is a way of tapping into your own intuition. And there's nothing dark about that whatsoever.
Isn't it also connecting to frequencies?
It is. It's simply learning how to tap into a frequency that's already there. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that, you know, it couldn't be simpler.
Well, it sounds like you were directed to it, eh?
I was. And then from there, since I became very adept quickly, then shortly after that, I started to get my study for my degree in naturopathy. And I found that if I used the pendulum to work with clients, I could get information that very quickly pinpoint something, an herb, a nutrient that the client needed, and I could all do it all with my pendulum, made it really quick and easy to work with clients.
Do you ever get in the way of your own, do you ever get in the way because of desire or willfulness of your information?
Mm. In the beginning, I did, and I could... as time has gone on and I've gained an experience, though, I can tell. I can tell when it's my conscious mind trying to influence the answer, I feel it. I know it. Because this happens on that other level where it's an unconscious response, and you're just allowing the pure information to come through you. And that's got a completely different feeling to it than when you are saying, oh, please, 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 let it be this. So I can tell now.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, isn't it? You have this book called Hiring the Heavens, and as I was going into it, it was like it is a kind of dowsing that uses what would you say, your connection to the multidimensional frequencies and consciousnesses through your own body mind, isn't it? It's a kind of a dowsing, would you say?
You know, Hiring the Heavens absolutely came out of my work in my office as a naturopath, and also with all of the work that I did with dowsing. Dowsing connects you to that higher level of information, that higher wisdom, whether you want to call it your intuition, if you want to go up even higher to your angels, your guides. It connects you all the way up through that path. And I had an experience in my office, though, that brought a whole new dimension to my world. It was one of those kind of pivotal moments that was so synchronistic. It was beyond coincidence, way beyond coincidence, and it truly changed my life from that point on. I have been using the principles in Hiring the Heavens ever since that moment, which began at least 15, 16 years ago, mm-hmm. and there is not a day that goes by that I don't tap into these principles. So may I tell you what
Please.
Happened?
Yes, I'm just dying to hear.
Oh, my gosh. It was one of those that just raised the hair on my arms. I was working with a client, and we were doing a clearing for neurotransmitters. And at the time, I didn't know a whole lot about neurotransmitters. I had to name five of them. I could only come up with four, And yet when I would use my pendulum and ask, you know, do I have to name the fifth one? I would get back, yes, you have to name the fifth one.
Oh.
So I said to my client, I said, you know, we're going to have to reschedule because I don't know what this fifth neurotransmitter is. I need time to do some studying. And then my client, who is a layperson, said, well, is histamine a neurotransmitter? And I just looked, you know, kind of did a double take at her, and I said, no, of course not. Histamine's that stuff your sinuses produce when you have an allergic reaction. That's why you take antihistamines. No, it's not a neurotransmitter. And then in the very next second, I turned around, and for whatever reason, I pull a book off a shelf behind me that I had purchased 1 year prior and had never looked at. Well, the book falls open to a page where in the title it's talking about histamine. No. You
got
to imagine
it.
the feelings that were going. I looked at that and I said, oh, look, it's talking about histamine. I looked up at my client like, isn't that amazing? Well, then in the next nanosecond, my eyes fall on a line buried in a paragraph that said, histamine is also thought to be a neurotransmitter. Okay, that was my moment. That was my moment when I knew, wait a minute, how did that happen? You know, when I didn't know what the name was of the fifth neurotransmitter, my client says it. When I deny it, something makes me turn around and pull a book off the shelf, opens the page, takes my eyes right to the line buried in the paragraph. I mean, you can't explain that with coincidence. That's like, okay. What is happening? So I frankly couldn't wait for this person to leave because I was so shook up. I knew something extraordinary had just occurred. So I thought to myself, well, maybe it's possible that because I'm doing a good thing working with clients and helping them with their health, that maybe I'm getting help from this unseen dimension from a spiritual physician.
Yay!
That's the first place my imagination went to. It's like,
perfect.
Okay, maybe I'm actually getting help. So I began to call upon that spiritual physician every morning when I would go to work. I'd say, okay, we've got so-and-so coming in today. Can you help us? Can you help me figure out what this person needs? And then after this person, we've got the next person. They've got problems with this and that. Could you help with that? And all of a sudden, I started getting information that was just way beyond my technical training. And it was astounding to me. It was so astounding. Like most sessions, my jaw would just be on the floor.
Wow.
It was like, can you believe this? So,
and it was very finely tuned, sort of scientific stuff, huh?
Yes.
And medical.
Yeah, astounding. Absolutely astounding. So
wow.
After a while, I thought to myself, well, maybe I can get help for other aspects of my business. Like, for example, I need a spiritual time manager, and I need a spiritual receptionist and secretary, and I need a spiritual marketer. Could I possibly hire those talents to work for me? And so I imagined going into the heavenly resource pool and hiring experts in each of those fields. And afterwards, I would have a daily staff meeting.
Oh, wonderful.
Usually in my car, as I was driving down the road, I'd be talking to my staff, just like I would be talking to, you know, somebody sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. And I would tell them about what I needed to have done, what was going on in the schedule, just like, as if I was having a regular staff meeting, only these were with these imaginary hires. And the evidence that came through for me that they were actually working for me was was clear to me that indeed I was getting help from this unseen dimension. So I began to capitalize on that and hire away from the heavens for everything in my life. And I, you know, personal shopping, interior decorating, you name it.
You have big me's. Do you actually hear them, Jean?
I do. Now, people will ask about that. This is in the beginning, I wouldn't have said that I actually hear them. It's become more of a refinement as I have become more and more experienced to learn what is my voice in my head and what is a thought that is not my own, or a thought or a voice that is not my own. And over time you get to that place where you can really tell the difference. I would imagine you've noticed that, and you also speak with angels and guides. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And I do know there's a very subtle, you start to really break into the code, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know, what's what in your head. Yeah. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, I like to sing.
Yes. Yes. And it's, I tell people it's like the thought between my thoughts.
There's a vibration to it, too. I'm pretty interested in that whole vibratory link. You know what I think we should do also is stop just for a minute and explain a simple dowsing technique so people can get it, because it's like what you're talking about, linking to the hired, the higher, is so related to this very simple beginning act, isn't it?
Yeah. So, with dowsing, there are several books and videos out there that explain how to get a simple yes and no. I mean, we've been dowsing, the human race has been dowsing for as long as we've had recorded history. Mm-hmm. And who knows, it may go back a whole lot further than we've ever imagined. But being able to connect in with your intuition has been something that humans have always had.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, they used to count on it before they had email and texting and phones. Especially women, I believe, eh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. You know, and we kind of take it for granted because it's so, it has become so much a part of our lives. We're just used to it being there that we don't often question it, whether, except when we don't listen. Mm-hmm. Then we say to ourselves, gosh, you know,
I had a
feeling I shouldn't have taken the car out today. I just knew I shouldn't, and I didn't listen.
So when you started dowsing, and that's so true, when you started dowsing, what did you use? You used, did you use the wire hanger, or did you use?
I've used them all. I've used the pendulum, I've used the L rods and the bobbers. I've used them all, and they're all fun. And they all have different uses for them. Like, for example, when you're out in the field, using a L rod is really nice because it can point you in a direction. Mm-hmm. You can't really do that with a pendulum. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, a pendulum is so nice because it's convenient and small, can fit into your pocket. Or the other cool thing you can do with a pendulum is that you can use it for chart dowsing and to point at a particular very fine line. I have a set of charts that I use quite often when I'm working with clients doing life coaching. And one of the charts is a series of about 200 different emotions, and I can use my pendulum to point at which emotion is affecting the particular situation. Or there's another chart that has to do with what am I telling myself. So very quickly you can have the pendulum point to a belief that is holding them back.
That's an L rod, or are you using your little pendulum doing it?
I'm using my little pendulum to do that. That's yeah.
So and your pendulum, is it a jewel or a ring or what is it?
Well, actually, it doesn't matter what it is. I have several. Some of them are metal. Some of them are stones. But it really doesn't matter because anything that swings is a pendulum.
Can I tell you a funny
story? Favorite things that you like to swing?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a funny story, which might seem a little bit cheeky. But a friend of mine, I was asked to walk the land to see if there was oil one time, and I walked, and I can see, you know, pretty well. So we charted it, and then they said this fellow who had walked the land had identical mapping, and he had used a witching rod, you know, the V-shaped,
sure.
The Y-shaped rod. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he and I became friends later, and that was 24 years ago. But one day we were having lunch and we were having a political argument. So he brought out his cell phone and pulled out its long, it's one of the older cell phones, has a long antenna.
Sure.
And he started to pendle with that, and he said, see, I'm right, because my pendulum says so. So I dragged my tea bag out of my teacup, and I was pendling, and I got a different answer with a little different refinement. He got up, and he stormed away from the table, and he said, you can't pendle with a tea bag. And everybody at the table laughed and said, what are you doing with a cell phone, you know? I'll never, because you can use your arm, too. You can hang your arm down and work it.
Yes, yes. Anything that swings can be a pendulum, because one of the principles of dowsing is that you are the instrument, not the pendulum.
Exactly.
The information is coming through you, and you are the instrument, and the pendulum is simply a meter to read. Therefore, anything that swings, be it a tea bag or a precious stone, anything at all that swings is a pendulum.
Hmm. This is such exciting work. So then let's go back into hiring the heavens, because I just keep thinking it is like pendling in the sense that you're running the energy through you and connecting it up there, right?
I am. And, you know, I use the combination quite often. Like if I'm wanting to know information in a field mm-hmm. that I am not familiar with, let's say I want to ask a legal question.
Okay.
Well, then the first thing that I will do is hire a spiritual lawyer to come in and advise me through my pendulum as I ask questions and give me the yes and the no and the direction that I should go in.
But Jean, doesn't that mean your questions have to be very astute and they're yes and no answers, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The quality of your answers is always going to be dependent on how specific your question is and how well defined you have it. So that is an important point, and I'm glad you brought that up. But, you know, you can do that, use that combination. You want to have your car, there's something going on with your engine. Well, hire a spiritual mechanic to advise you as you ask with your pendulum. Okay, is it something electrical? Is it something in the you know, carburetor, whatever the different parts are? Or the other thing that I have is a chart book that actually has automotive diagnostics on it. So I just use that chart to have the pendulum point on what it is that's going on with a vehicle.
Oh, wow. And that works for you. Do you have any little stories for us about great successes?
I sure do. Oh, my gosh. My son, this is exactly what happened to him. He bought a new, well, it was a used truck, and but certainly new to him. And first time he's ever owned a vehicle. So he's all proud about his new truck and spent a couple days detailing it. You know how they take such good care of it in the beginning?
Yes.
He buffed it out and detailed every little nook and cranny and even had washed off the engine. Well, afterwards, it was running roughly. And he was so discouraged because it's his first vehicle, and now he thinks it's something. There's something wrong with it that's going to cost him a lot of money to get fixed. So he was thinking about taking it down to a repair shop, and I said, well, let me douse it. So I brought out my chart, and I doused that it was something electrical. Mm-hmm. And he said, electrical? Well, how could it be electrical? And there was a number of other things that he talked to all these different fathers that he knew that had worked in mechanic shops. So he was getting all kinds of information from different places. Well, lo and behold, he found out through a roundabout way that when you disconnect the battery, mm-hmm. it resets the computer chip for the truck.
Oh.
And for a while, it runs roughly as it relearns how the engine works, something along those lines.
Oh, wonderful.
And so it's absolutely an electrical problem. Oh, the other thing was, as I doused, it wasn't going to cost him anything.
Okay.
and so it was electrical, and it didn't cost him anything to have it fixed.
Did that sort of give him a little bit more trust in the system, or did he already trust it?
He believes, because He, let's see, when I started dowsing, he was actually, well, he hadn't even been born yet. And so he has grown up with dowsing in the household, and it doesn't matter if it's something that he is feeling poorly and wants to know what kind of herb or supplement he needs, or here recently he's planning on moving out and going to college, so he's having me douse which apartment might be a good fit for him.
Wow, and he didn't learn to douse himself?
Oh, he does. He knows how to douse, but he still prefers to get a little bit of a second opinion.
I think that's brilliant. Do all of your kids do it? You've got four.
They do. And they all ask, I think that as time goes on and they get out on their own, they do it more and more for themselves. But while they were living here, they would call me and have me double check things.
So you're really a continually emerging mystic, aren't you?
You know, that's the wonderful thing about both dowsing and hiring the heavens. It connects you with this unseen dimension and helps to bring in an awareness that we're so much more than what meets the eyes, and that we have access to information that is so beyond what that left brain can learn. And science knows this. And they say that we're only using 10% of our brain, I've heard, and that the right brain, which is the connection to our intuition, is, I don't know, what have I heard? 100 times more powerful than the left?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that.
Remember Jill Bolte? What was her name? Jill, the
Bolte?
Lady? Yes. And
yes.
She had that, it was the right side of her brain that succeeded when she had the stroke, and she was a brain researcher, and she was unable to even phone anybody to help her.
Right.
But then as she expanded, she really got the whole right brain thing, didn't she, of being able to have amazing knowing.
Fabulous story. But that's the truth of it, is that we limit ourselves if we think that, well, the only thing that we can do is do our logical learning, and it has to be something that is scientific that we can prove and all of that. We really limit ourselves because us humans have been operating through our right brain for as long as we've been alive. And hey, there's a whole lot that goes on there that you just know.
It's interesting to me.
Or through a pendulum, you have access to information. Now, you're not going to be able to show that on any kind of clinical evidence or scientific evidence, but yet we know that that is exactly what goes on, and that's what happens. I mean, we function so much of the time by just on hunches and
it's true.
On the knowingness.
So it's really validating that. But, it occurs to me, we're talking about the potential of the brain, that little ones are much freer to be very magical and have that kind of access. And what is it, start really closing off by the time they're socialized in kindergarten or first grade, or by about 7. Is it possible to teach little kids to pendle, to use that and keep them open?
You know, the issue there, and now I'll tell you why how the left brain gets in there and is so helpful, not a deterrent, but helpful. The issue with young kids is being able to formulate questions.
Hmm. Of course, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the left brain is so good at that. And so years before I learned how to douse, I was extremely left brain. I worked as a computer analyst. So, the way that my mind worked, it had to add up. 1 + 1 had to equal 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned how to follow a very logical sequence. And that has served me very well in being able to ask the right questions and being able to ask them in a way that is sequential and can lead to giving me the answer that I want, to find an answer that I want. So with little kids, the problem is they haven't yet developed their right brain may be developing, but their left brain hasn't developed enough logic yet to know how to ask the question.
Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad I asked that, because it just seems it would be nice to keep them open to the flow, you know.
Absolutely. So it would be nice to continue to raise them in a whole brain environment so that the left brain matures, and at the same time we don't do anything to squelch the development of the right brain.
Well, jumping back to who you are, you said you're higher guidance life coach, and I see that the Dowsers West Coast conference this year is called Dowsing, A Clear Path Forward. Can you use it in your work as a coach? Well, I guess you're using your hired help up there. But can you actually?
And I couldn't do a session without my pendulum. I really use my pendulum the entire time. All my sessions are by phone. And so the entire time I'm talking with somebody, I'm using my pendulum to verify what I'm hearing and like seeing in my mind's eye. So, you know, as well as I do, you can be shown a picture of something, but you need to get the correct interpretation of what that picture means. Mm-hmm. And so as I begin talking and describing this picture, I will be using my pendulum to say, okay, you're close, nope, go back. You know, and, okay, now you're going in the right direction. Now that's right. And so the pendulum helps to keep me on track about what it is that I'm hearing and seeing and making sure that I'm interpreting it correctly.
But could you actually do work on helping people find their life path or their past lives or reincarnational things or that sort of thing?
The whole gamut, you
How
know.
Exciting.
I call it higher guidance life coaching because I don't have a cookie cutter approach to life coaching that says, okay, well, it's the first thing that we got to do is find this, and let's find out what you're good at and your skills and this sort of thing. I don't do that. Instead, I listen to the person's issue and something that they want to have resolved, and then I take a moment and tune into their higher guidance and let their higher guidance be the coach. And sometimes that will take us off in very surprising directions, something that the person never ever thought they were calling about, but the higher guidance says, we need to talk.
That's great. So you call it the hired guidance maybe, huh?
Yes. Yeah, you could say that. But I believe everybody has higher guidance, and whether you want to call that your guides, your angels, your high self, whatever term you put to it, I just believe that for each and every one of us, we have we don't just end right here at the top of our head.
No, we sure don't. That's where it starts in a way, isn't it?
I would say so, yeah.
Now,
the more that we can tap into that wisdom and knowledge, after all, who knows you better?
Well, that's
who knows you better? That your higher guidance has to live with you.
And gosh knows how long they've had to do that. So while you're at the Dowsers Conference in July, you said you're going to do a half-day workshop on something you're calling wantology. What on earth is that?
Wantology. Well, in all of these years of working with clients in a life coaching business, the one thing that consistently stands in people's way and is the biggest stumbling block for them getting what they want, or manifesting their dreams, is that they don't know what they want. And all of the goal setting approaches that are available are wonderful as soon as you know what you want. But if you don't know what you want, all the goal setting in the world isn't going to get you there.
That's true.
And so wantology is the study of the want energy, how it is that we actually create and have desire for something, and how to discover what that is, and then how to clear a path with our beliefs so that we actually support getting what we want with our beliefs. And it's been a fascinating study, absolutely fascinating.
Because I was going to say that sometimes we think we are not allowed to want what we want, right?
Oh, yeah. I call it want phobia. Want phobia. That be careful what you ask, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Or you're not in the New Age circles. You shouldn't say the word want. The universe will just give you more back of the wanting energy. All those different things that we've heard about wanting, or even when we were little, our parents stopping us from wanting, saying, stop asking for things. You know, and wanting was selfish. So there's all those things that go into it. But what my guidance has said is that the most powerful force on the planet, the most creative force, is that want energy, and that nothing happens without it. There has to be a desire. And I thought this was really interesting. You know, you've got Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. My guidance says nothing actually needs to exist ever until there is a want. As soon as you know what you want, then you know what you need to do. But all needs are based on wants. So a simple example is, you might say that an anorexic needs to eat, mm-hmm. but they won't if they don't want to.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. Well, in metaphysics, really, they say you should never want. How do people respond to that with you? Because I find that that's a real, almost a quantum shift in all the things we've been taught, isn't it?
It is. And my guidance had said just the opposite. My guidance says, you have to want. You have to. You absolutely have to, because without it, nothing moves. You cannot create. If you, and I believe that's what we're here to do, is to be creators. So if you have a desire to create something, that is that initial force, that energy that begins the momentum that now decides, okay, now I have to do this, this, and this to make my creation come true. And all of that happens because of a want. But when you look at needs, actually nothing, does the earth need to exist? Do humans need to exist? Nothing needs to happen. Only when there's a want. Hmm. If there is a desire to live and to survive, and to experience, if that desire is there, now you need shelter, now you need food, now you need all the things that support that.
That's interesting. It's just making me think a lot about what we're trained in. How does a person decide that? You could douse that very question, couldn't you? As soon as I ask that, I go, well, of course you could douse it, couldn't you?
Absolutely. And that's what I do. I'll just give you an example. I worked with a client who's a life coach herself. And she has been coaching for years and years, and a friend of mine kept telling her, well, you should call Jean Slater because she's having a particular problem with her business. She says, well, why would I call her? I'm a life coach myself. And they said, well, just call her. Well, it took a year for her to pick up the phone. And in the very first session, we got to the heart of it that had been plaguing her for a number of years. And what it was that she thought she wanted to do this particular business. And when we got into it, I says, well, tell me why it is that you want to do this. And she says, well, because I want to help people and I want to inspire people. And I was using my pendulum to check everything she was saying. It was saying, no, this isn't true.
How interesting.
And here's the thing, is that we grab onto stories that sound real good.
Mm-hmm. Like wanting to help people.
Yeah, because rather than tell ourselves the truth about something, which might not sound nearly as good, we grab onto stories that sound real good, or we grab onto what our society has conditioned us to want, like, oh, absolutely, I want a 5,000 square foot house.
Right.
Well, do you really? Or is that just, you know, society telling you that that's what you should want? All these different things. So anyway, with this particular client, I kept saying, well, I'm not getting a yes on that. Keep going deeper. And finally, she got real quiet for a moment, and then she said, I want to prove my mother wrong.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
I said, yep. And when she got in touch with that and was able to tell herself the truth, that that was the motivating force behind what she was doing, she just was astounded and said, oh my gosh, you know, I see now that that has been driving me for so many years and that I can let that go. So she made a decision to let that go, and then she was free to ask herself, now, without that, what do I really want? And immediately she said, I don't even want to do this business.
Ah, that's wonderful. What'd she do instead?
She just let that go completely, and now what she's doing is living a life of peace and grace. She's gone back into painting. And she, every single week, she is at an art studio learning more and more about her artwork and that sort of thing. And she's just having a ball.
Wow.
She's truly doing what she wants to do.
Wow, isn't that a marvelous story? So what you're saying is that the drive, which is reactive, is kind of like a shelf and we're kind of behind it or something. Our real truth doesn't come up if we've got a reaction.
You know, we are very clever at deceiving ourselves. We come up with clever cover stories, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it? So have you got some more stories like that? I like that. This is very inspiring.
Well, you know, with Wantology, I'll tell you, Wantology has made such a huge difference in how I approach my clients, because that want energy has a particular force behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's inertia, it's momentum, it gets you going. And so if you can tap into what it is that you really want, mm-hmm. in a situation, you can move forward at breakneck speed. Mm-hmm. One of my clients was a gal that had been dragging her feet to write her paper to finish this particular class so that she could graduate from college.
Okay.
And she was a straight-A student, so what she thought she wanted was to really come up with an extraordinary paper that would knock the socks off the professor, and she'd get this glowing A, and she would be so proud of herself in writing this paper. And she started one right after another. She'd get so far into it and just say, oh, this is not inspiring me. This is not what I want to write about. So then she'd start another subject. And this was going on month after month. And she was getting so frustrated that, why am I not finishing this? Let me just make a decision and go for it. So what we did in a session is found, you know, get to the heart of it. What did she truly want? And more than anything, when she finally said her truth, she says, you know what? It's stupid that I have to write this paper in the first place. It's just stupid. I just find it an absolute bother, and I just want to be done with it. And I says, okay, then is this something that you can live with, that you can just write the paper to get what you really want, which is to graduate from that class? Could you just do it on any subject at all? Don't even go for the A. Just put it out there to finish it as quickly as you can to get what it is that you really want. And she looked at it in a new way and said, you know what? Why am I having all this angst about getting an A about something I don't even care about and I think is stupid? Yeah, I'm just going to write it. So in 2 weeks, she had the darn thing done. She ends up acing it anyway.
Did she get the respect from the professor?
Pardon me?
Did she get the respect from the professor?
I didn't ask that, but she did get a good grade. Aww. So, you know, but she got in touch with what it is that she really wanted, which was just to be finished with that class.
Wow.
And once she got in touch with that, she was able to finish that paper in just 2 weeks.
Wow. Well, how hard is the process of getting in touch with what you really want? Because I think we're taught not to want, not just in metaphysics, but
you
like you say,
right.
As a child, yes.
Yeah, you got that right.
So you bargain. When I'm listening to myself as you're talking, I go, I have all kinds of bargains about what I'm allowed to have and want and rationalizing it in the world.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah, you're right. Well, when you have a pendulum, you can test all sorts of statements to see if they're true or not. So with your pendulum, you can simply say, well, I want to get an A on this paper. And if your pendulum says no, then start asking, making other statements till you get at what is your real truth. And that's the cool thing about a pendulum. The pendulum is a way to discover your truth. I had that happen when I went to a really well-known financial conference. These conferences, they pack them in. There's got to be 2,000, maybe even 3,000 people there. Mm-hmm. And they're very well done. And one of the things that they do is they pass out, it's about 3 or 4 pages of negative statements about money. Like if you believe that money is the root of all evil, or that you believe that money doesn't grow on trees, just negative statements about money. And you're supposed to rate on a scale of 0 to 10 how strongly you believe that statement to be true. And they're on the right track. They're trying to discover what it is that you believe about money that may be affecting money coming into your experience. And I absolutely support that, and I believe that that is exactly what you should be doing, totally on the right track. But the problem is, here's the thing, though, you can fool yourself. So I was at that conference and going down the list and marking 0 and 1 on everything. And at the time, I wasn't without monetary problems, though. So I looked at this and I thought, I don't think I'm telling myself the truth about some of these things. So later I went to my hotel room, got out my pendulum, and I doused. I asked, is there really one of these statements here that I have marked a 0 or a 1 that is actually a 10? And, oh, yeah, there were 3 of them.
Oh, wow.
So I doused the 3 statements that I actually believed, only I didn't want to admit that to myself. Like I said, our conscious mind can fool us.
Wow. So how do you break into that?
That use your pendulum to just ask, okay, which one of these statements is giving me, a false negative, and that I really do strongly believe it. And when I found out what it was, at first, I had to stop and really think, well, is that, I really believe that? And one of them was is that someday my ship will come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, really? I believe that? And so then I looked back at my history. And, as they say, if you want to know what your subconscious is thinking, look at your life, because you're actually mirroring it. So I took a look at what my past history, and sure enough, there was a lot of evidence that I was operating on a belief that someday my ship will come in.
Wow.
And so anyway, when you have a pendulum, it's just no question you can't ask. It's like having access to a psychic 24/7. And this psychic is the very best of all because it's you. So who knows you better?
Well, actually, that's a joke because we don't always know ourselves better, do we?
But our higher guidance does.
Yes, it does. But you can block it with your thinking.
But when you become really adept at dowsing, it's like we were saying in the beginning, you'll be able to tell the difference. You'll be able to tell the difference when your mind is getting in there and doing the wishful thinking thing or blocking it. And when it's pure, and you really will be able to tell the difference. And what I tell my clients is to just keep practicing with a pendulum. Practice, 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 because it takes that kind of familiarity to really get that fine-tuning down to where you know the difference between what it is that is your own mind in there influencing it versus the purity of your higher guidance coming through. And you work on that same level, so I know that you would probably say the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Where do you get the charts? Yes, I would say the same thing, actually. But I don't trust my pendulum as much because I guess I just finally put it down and I just become my intuitive self because I don't trust that I'm, clear. I guess I just don't trust it yet.
Yeah, but I would say, though, that the pendulum, you're also clairvoyant.
Yes.
And not everyone is clairvoyant, and not everyone is that clear about what they hear in their mind and see in their mind's eye. Not everybody's that clear about that. Well, if you have that kind of skill, there's really no need for you to use a pendulum.
Well, and just to jump back to that, I want to say that if my mind or my pendulum always gives me the answers I prefer, I'm very suspicious of it.
Sure, sure.
That's absolutely a big key right there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel that if you're the type of person that already has other intuition skills developed, then you probably will not use a pendulum, because a pendulum would actually slow you down. But for myself, I'm not clairvoyant, and I just found that the pendulum was so helpful and so easy to read and to keep me on track. And it's more of a universal type tool that anybody can learn versus, if you're clairvoyant, it's almost as if you either got that skill or you don't.
Well, also, where do you get those charts? Because that's pretty interesting to be able to, that would save a lot of time in developing lists of questions, wouldn't it?
You know, they can get the charts on my website.
Oh, great. What's your website?
Yeah, if they go to the Amazon recommendations, and they're called Pendulum Charts by Dale Olson with an O at the end.
Okay.
And these pendulum charts, I just think, are fantastic.
Well, I think that's
the ones I've seen.
That would be really, really helpful. So let's talk again about the Dowsers Conference, and you're going to give a half-day workshop on Wantology, which sounds like we should all take, actually.
And then I'm also doing a couple presentations. I'm doing the first presentation on Hiring the Heavens, and that goes into my landmark book. And I tell you, that's been the most fun ever, is learning how to tap into this fantastic resource pool that we have available to us. That's been extraordinary and has done amazing things for me. The second talk I'm doing is on Break Free of the Law of Attraction.
Oh, yes, I want to know about that. That's important.
It is. It is. When I first wrote Hiring the Heavens, I was introduced at the time then, halfway in the process of writing it, to the Law of Attraction. And I thought at the time that it must be how Hiring the Heavens is working. And I even put that in my book, that perhaps this is working because it's following the Law of Attraction. But as the years have gone by, I have realized how very different it is from the Law of Attraction. In fact, it moves you into a law that I believe is so much more powerful than the Law of Attraction, and that is the Law of Grace.
And aha!
Yes, yes. You see, with the Law of Attraction, I have noticed that it creates a type of hypervigilance. Mm. You have to do it right, because whatever you're putting out, that's what the universe is giving back to you. And this universe is an impartial energy that is just mirroring back to you everything that you're putting out. So when things aren't going the way that you want, it always brings it back to you, doesn't it?
Yep.
What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Oh,
blame,
I gotta
blame,
adjust
blame.
My attitude here.
Yes.
I got to have more gratitude, or I've got to state things in the present tense, and I can't use the word want. Mm-hmm. And the list goes on and on of the do's that you have to do to make it work. And the whole idea is that if you can just get the right formula, if you can finally just do it right, then finally the Law of Attraction is going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I've experienced with Hiring the Heavens is that it's not based on any of that. In fact, what I tell people is there's no right way to do it, and you can't get it wrong. Mm. Because this is a gift of grace. It's a gift, period. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to have it taken away. So it's a completely different approach to manifesting.
Would you say it's opening and awakening to interaction with the higher?
It is recognizing and coming to know who you truly are. And when you connect with that, you know, we throw out words like and phrases that we're all one, and that we're all, you know, all God, and God's a part of us, and we throw out those fancy little phrases, but we don't live it. When we live higher in the heavens, when we actually tap into that force, we recognize that we are a creator, and we recognize who we are, and that God force is us.
What a wonderful thing. So let's get hold of the Dowsers again, the Dowsers Conference, for anybody who's interested. I'd like you to give their website and yours so we can get hold of more information from you.
Okay.
And the website for the hired beings.
Yeah. The Dowsers, the conference in Santa Cruz is going to be July 6th through the 10th, and that is the website is www.dowserswestcoast.org, and Dowser is spelled D-O-W-S-E-R-S.
Thanks for that.
And that's dowserswestcoast.org, and you can go on that website and learn all about the fantastic speakers that are going to be there this year. Like I said, 22 years ago, I went to my first conference in Santa Cruz, and I was hooked.
We went to one in 2008, and it was really rich and wonderful.
Oh, yeah, and you'll hear topics from everything from traditional water dowsing, dowsing for metals and gold, to far-out topics like dowsing the alien nation and all of that.
We love that.
You know, and everything in between. And the dowsers, what I love about this particular group or all the dowsing groups is that there's no dogma. Everybody is just up there speaking about what they have found interesting, what works for them, and they say to the entire audience, douse it for yourself.
It's not
it's
a very
all about
competitive.
Everybody finding their own truth, which
yeah,
I really admire and resonate with.
That's perfect. It's not a very competitive ambiance at all.
No, not at all.
And your website, and then we're going to be hooked off stage.
Okay. They can get to my website by www.jeanslater.com. And Jean Slater is spelled J-E-A-N. S is in Sam, L-A-T-T-E-R. So it looks like it's Slatter, but it's Slater. And I tried to get my husband to drop one of those T's, but it never worked. So I always have to explain how to pronounce my last name.
That's good that people don't forget.
I know, yeah. I would say that was his convincing argument. He said, do you know how many Slaters there are in the phone book?
Yeah, he's right, you know. Well, I really appreciated our time with you. I've learned a lot, and I feel pretty inspired. I'm going to be talking to my committees with a little more astute focus than I have before, Jean. Thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome, and it has been a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, too. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for tuning into Paradigm Shifters and meeting with Jean Slater with two T's and the dowsing, all the dowsing preparations that are coming up for July in Santa Cruz. If you have any feedback on this show or any suggestions for guests or want a session with me or even with Jean, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, no H in Entwistle.com, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Many blessings. Head to Santa Cruz for July. Good night.